going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 13 of the international sensation known as the Reverent Babel Podcast. This is Neil Huntley.
And this is Cody Kelly.
Oh, Cody is back.
I am back.
He has decided to opt back in.
I did.
I decided to opt back in.
You know, like, I was honestly kind of getting a little bit bored sitting over there on the sidelines listening to you just take all the glory from this show. So I thought I'd just opt back in.
I'm going to start calling you Cody Cespedes now because that's exactly what Yoenis Cespedes is going to do if the Mets ever do good. He's going to try to opt back in. Yeah. I guarantee it. Because that's exactly what Nick Markakis did. Hey, look, the Braves are actually playing pretty good this year. Let me play.
I know.
And you know what? I take back what I said about he shouldn't have been let in because he's been playing great so
literally
far,
his
too.
First start back. Whenever I watched that, I was like, that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, you texted me immediately. And I admit it. I'll eat my words. And they tasted a little bitter. I won't lie. But, hey, we're back. Both of us are back.
Yes.
Cody's back. Cody, how was your trip to the beach, man?
It was really good.
It started out to an interesting start, though, didn't it?
Yes, it did. We actually drove down there on Saturday morning, and we got there by Saturday afternoon. We went on the beach on Sunday morning. It was honestly kind of funny because we were out on the beach on Sunday for the first day, and we were like, it's kind of hard to believe there's going to be a hurricane going to be coming in tomorrow night. And then, so we hung out on Sunday all day Monday, and then Monday night,
the
bottom fell out.
The COVID hurricane, whatever you want to call it, it was there, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
And y'all
it was there in full, man.
Y'all were probably, I want to say, maybe 30 miles south of like the eye. You know, y'all were right.
I know.
Y'all were right in the alley of it because y'all were.
We were close. We were
in Cherry Grove, right?
Yes, we were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were about an hour above Oak Island. Oak Island got hammered.
Yeah.
Like, really bad.
Yeah, that's right.
Down there.
Yeah, the eye went right near Caswell and Wilmington and all that mess. Oak Island, man, their front stretch of road, it looks like you're on the back row of the beach now.
I know.
They got a mess on their hands that they're still cleaning up.
But
other than the hurricane, you said it was beautiful weather the next day, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you know, it was awesome weather on Sunday. Not so great weather Monday afternoon, Monday night, but then when you woke up on Tuesday morning, like as far as the weather goes, you wouldn't have thought a hurricane came in at all. I mean, obviously you would look around and you saw a lot of damage, but as far as the weather goes, it was fine. And then from pretty much that point on, we had a pretty good week. There was a little bit of rain towards the end of the week while we were there, but other than that, we had a really great time, really enjoyed it. I was really looking forward to that vacation. I think all of us were, and I'm just glad that we came and we enjoyed it, but I'm glad to kind of come back to reality a little bit and just kind of, get things back to normal.
Yeah, it's always good to go on vacation and get away, but it's always good to get back in the swing of things too, right? Because
if you
stay gone too long, you just turn lazy and you don't want to get back into it.
So right,
it's always good to...
I was very close to going that way too.
That's right. It's always good to get back in the swing of things. So we're glad that you were safe in the hurricane, even though you were between two piers and one of them got taken out and it was all over the beach the next day. But it's good to have you back, man. It felt funny talking to my bobblehead last week.
because
Muggsy, he's a little small. He's a little smaller than you in real life and on the bobblehead. So it's good to have somebody to talk back to. This go around.
It was for sure a lot of fun. We definitely enjoyed it. So I had a great time, and I'm great to be back. But Neil, how about you? How was this past week for you while I was gone?
I missed a night of sleep while you were gone. It's not that I missed you so bad that I couldn't sleep, Cody. That's not the case. I appreciate the time that we share together, but I don't lose sleep over it. Okay, we're not on that level. We're never going to be on that level.
That's fine with me.
But it's on a respectable level. Okay. All right. If you're not part of youth group or, follow us on social media and stuff, we had a lock-in at church last week on Friday night.
I heard about that.
Yeah, we had a lock-in starting about 6. We had to get the floor cleaned up. For y'all that don't know what our church looks like, we meet in our Family Life Center.
Right.
That's like a basketball gym. It's a multi-purpose building. And the floor is one of those, it's not a wooden floor, but it's like a vinyl basketball court.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we had taped some colored paint. Goodness. We had taped some colored tape. There we go. Leave that in there, Cody, because they need to know that I mess up sometimes, too. We had taped some colored tape, there we go, onto the floor for the Awana games, for the kids' games. And that tape has been on there. I think I asked one of our deacons on Friday night. He said it had been on there for about 6 or 7 years.
Six, seven years?
That's some pretty daggum good tape.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, and so with...
I was about to say.
With it being very good tape, it means it has very good adhesive on the bottom of it.
Yes.
Which means it was extremely sticky when we got it up. And so what we're getting it up for is, you know, it's just that time of year where it's just got to get a deep clean on that floor just because we use it all the time. And so we had to pull that up, and then we got the Goo Gone. You ever used Goo Gone before? It's like a little oily substance that you rub where you had a sticker or tape. It gets adhesive off of the floor.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And man, I tell you what, I think we all got a little buzz off the Goo Gone there for a little while. All me and all the kids. But we got out of there, let the building air out, and ate our pizza and all 260 chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A that we had. Had a great time, played a lot of games, played sardines, played hide and seek in the FLC, in the pitch black dark, you know.
And you got no sleep, I'm sure.
Yeah, I stayed up all night. Yeah, long story short, I woke up Thursday morning at 6:30, and I went to bed next time at 8:30 on Saturday morning.
Oh,
so, man. I was up for 26 hours nonstop.
Okay. I'm not trying to sound like a jerk. You know, like, I was on vacation too, so that kind of makes it sound like even more like a jerk. Uh-huh. But I'm not upset that I missed that.
Oh, honestly, it was fun.
I was about to say, like, as far as the sleep part goes, like, as far as the rest of it, I hate I missed it. But as far as the lack of sleep, I do not hate I missed that at all.
If you knew all the fun we had, you'd have wished you were there. But I'm glad you were on vacation. You know, if you were just sitting at the house, and I'd have come and got you. We had movies going the whole time. I had games going. We had basketball going out.
Oh, really?
We all had a great time.
Oh, that's cool.
Had a really good time. I was very happy to get in bed the next morning. That's for sure. And then I went to a play Saturday afternoon over at Narrowway Productions in Charlotte or Rock Hill, right at Carowinds. And it was a play about the story of Stephen, which is not a very popular story in the Bible, but it's a very, very good story.
Oh, yeah.
About his role
in Acts.
And all that. So it was a very encouraging thing to see. And it's like a dinner and show.
Huh.
It's kind of like, you know, Christian version of Dixie Stampede almost, you know, except for there's no games or horses and all that stuff. Well, actually, there was a horse. There was a camel in that play, too.
Really? There's a camel?
Live animals in there.
Wow.
But we had a good time with that, too. So it's been a good weekend. It's great to be back in the studio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Getting things planned for tomorrow night's lesson and continuing on our Sunday night study in Revelation. So, Cody, I know you were on vacation last week.
Yes, I was, and missed the first part of it.
That's okay. We'll come to the third part this Sunday.
Oh,
because
really?
This past Sunday, we talked about the seven seals, and we're getting on to the seven trumpets next, and things are getting a little dicey in Revelation, to say the least. But it's great to be back in Marsh Vegas, home of the Randy Travis, by the way, not just a Randy Travis, the Randy Travis, you know, and he actually had a new song come out. It was an old release song that came out, and one that had never been out before, and they put it out. So it's good to hear Randy Travis back on the radio once again. But this isn't a podcast about Randy Travis or about Revelation. Well, sometimes it could be about Revelation, but we got a great show lined up. Cody's got a good Devo coming up. And we got some interesting sports to talk about.
Yes, we do.
But let's take a break. We'll be back with the Double Play Devo. Hey, y'all. It's Neil here. While Cody and I are sitting back, taking a little break, maybe taking a sip of water or who knows what, just want to thank y'all for listening to the podcast. We got a good show lined up today, and just wanted to let you know that if you hadn't subscribed yet, please subscribe if you're on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so many more. If you want to get in touch with us and you don't see our beautiful faces every day, you can email us if that's what you're into, reverendbabble@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @reverendbabble. There's links to mine and Cody's personal Twitter accounts on that page as well. We're also on Instagram and Facebook now, @reverendbabble on Instagram, keeping it simple, and just search Reverend Babble Podcast on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a follow. If you want to talk to us, like I said, we'll talk right back. But enough of that. Let's get back to the show.
All right, and we're back. Welcome to the Double Play Devo portion of the show. You know, You know, I was trying to figure out to kind of give a good overview of what this part of the show is, but I think the way that Neil explained it last episode while I was gone was a good way of explaining. It's like both of us love to talk about sports. We enjoy sports, but we both love Jesus and want to talk about Jesus even more than
that. Oh, absolutely. And yeah, I could sit here and talk sports all day. I mean, me and you sit here for 20 minutes before we hit the record button and talk sports, even about stuff that we're not even going to mention on the podcast. But you know what happens when you win a championship, Cody? You know, you want to win the Super Bowl, when you win a World Series, you get a trophy.
Right.
Then you get a t-shirt. That's it.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then you become a line on a Wikipedia page. I'm not saying that that's not a great achievement. You know, people work their life for that crowning moment.
Oh,
but
sure.
That's, you know, that moment's only temporary, right? In 20 years, we won't remember who won the conference championship or who won MVP, things like that. We'll remember those people that impacted our life and led us to Jesus even more. So that's why I wanted to mention that. I mean, me and you love talking about sports.
Oh, yeah.
I can talk about
sports for hours.
That's right. But what will matter more in the long run and in eternity is talking about Christ.
Absolutely.
So that's why I'm so glad that we include this part in the show.
Oh, for sure, man. I mean, same here. You know, it's like that was one of the things I had in, you know, like I had in mind for this podcast, you know, sharing our hearts and our experiences through what we've gone through, and just hopefully that'll have a positive impact on someone else.
Yeah, and it seems, you know, and I mean, we'll get started with the Devo in a sec. I just want to say this. It seems like it's going pretty well so far.
Oh,
you know, just for being two guys that have never done any kind of production stuff like this before, besides me doing a little podunk YouTube videos for the youth when we were out because of quarantine and whatnot, you know, there's a million sports podcasts out there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can find one for your team. You can find one for your sport. You can probably find you can probably just search LeBron James. There's probably LeBron, like a podcast strictly on LeBron for all we know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Wouldn't surprise me.
You know, but why not use this form of media as a way of proclaiming the good news as well?
Yeah.
We can talk about sports news, but let's proclaim the good news as well. I mean, and it was even encouraging to see that, you know, on Apple Podcast, we pop up under suggestions up under like Matthew West podcast and things like that.
Yeah, I know. And
I noticed that the other day he started a podcast and I started listening to it.
Yes,
and
he
up
did,
under
yeah.
the suggestions was, if you like this, you'll like. And the second or third one was Reverent Babble Podcast.
And that's really cool.
That's
man.
Really cool.
You know, like I think for two guys who live in the southern part of North Carolina, almost in South Carolina, Union County, I think for what we try to tell and present to other people, and kind of the way we go about, and just the way we go about doing it, I really enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Sure. It's a magnificent blessing, and God gets all the glory for it, for sure.
Absolutely.
But I talked about peace last week, and talked about how we definitely need peace in such a time like this, right? What do you have for us this week, Cody?
All right. So for the topic this week, okay, it was kind of funny because, you know, it's honestly kind of funny because whenever you texted me yesterday about the topic, I was thinking of ideas, but I wasn't sure. And then, like, probably 10 minutes after you text me that, an idea came up in my head. I've been watching, you know, like, different clips of different, you know, like, you know, topics on Instagram and YouTube, you know, just different things. And one of the videos I saw, I really enjoyed. And what it was basically talking about was, you know, it's like, you know, like, obviously, as Christians, we're called to, we're called to live a higher standard than other people.
Right,
you know,
right. Yeah.
You know, like live a higher standard, you know, like, you know, we have these standards that were set for us in the Bible by God and just, you know, through our own walks and experiences and just, you know.
Not that we are like higher in like a hierarchy than people.
No,
but we're called to keep these commandments that kind of keep us separate from the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. I'm sorry if I sounded confusing
all,
but thank you for helping me with that for sure. But, you know, but like we're called to live by a different set of rules and standards than, you know, most people have set for their lives, and, you know, and that's because of our faith and our walk with Jesus. But, you know, every once in a while, like all people, you know, because we're all human, we do, you know, like we do take a step back and we stumble sometimes and we may even fall in our walk sometimes. But, you know, but the positive and encouraging, I'm not trying to copy Caleb when I say that, but the positive and encouraging news that we have with that is that hope and that knowledge that we have, that we always have Jesus right there next to us to catch us when we do fall, right? Or we do fall, and we do stumble, and we do fall into temptations, or we just do wrong things.
Yeah, and by the way, Caleb, don't sue us for saying positive encourage. I promise to donate to one of your 17 financial fundraisers that you do every year. but get back on a serious note. What you're saying, it's just like we've talked about before with that story of the husband and wife in the truck.
Oh yeah,
you know, where the husband's driving, wife is right in the middle. She scoots, you know. And the wife's like, "What happened to us?" And he's like, I can't move. I'm driving, right? You're the one that scoots farther away from me." That's like that guy being God, because he's in control, right? Just like that man's in control of that vehicle. And we're the wife that sometimes scoots further away and sometimes scoots closer, right? And if we try to drive, we're going to end up in a ditch. So we need God there. We need Jesus Christ there as our, you know, as our guide and as our tow truck sometimes, right, to pull us out of the ditch.
Right, for sure. You know, and whenever I was, you know, I was just trying to think of a good passage of scripture to go along with this, I thought of Jesus when he walked on the water.
Yeah.
And the, you know, all his disciples were in the boat, and then they got scared. But then Peter, you know, being Peter, you know, he wanted to go out, mm-hmm, out of the boat and go walk on the water with Jesus. And, you know, what he did is he got out and began to walk towards Jesus, you know. And it's like us, whenever we first get saved, we're close, we're getting closer
all
to Jesus.
All about it on fire.
We
on
got
spiritual
our eyes,
high. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eyes locked in, focused on, you know, and by focused on Jesus, and, you know, eyes are focused on Jesus and just focused on doing whatever he calls us to do, you know. But then we obviously have, you know, different points in our lives sometimes where we kind of lose our focus, either just because of things that happen or temptations, or, you know, like, you know, bad things happen sometimes, or just temptations, or we just flat out do the wrong thing.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we just take our eyes off what we're supposed to be focusing on, and we, you know, and we start to sink and we start to fall, like how Peter did, because once he
took his eyes off of
once he took his eyes off of Jesus, like, yeah, he started to fall and he started to sink in the water. But the good news that we have as Christians is that, like I just said, I mentioned earlier, Jesus is always there close to us to pick us right back up when we're starting to fall. Because, you know, and the passage that I'm talking about, when I'm talking about Jesus walking on the water, obviously it's mentioned in other...
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, like, obviously it's mentioned in...
several different accounts, yeah.
Right, in several books of the Bible. But the account that I want to look at was in Matthew chapter 14, and it's in verses 22 through 33, and, you know, and that basically just tells that whole story. And what happens is that in verses 29 through 30 is basically Jesus telling Peter to come to him, and Peter gets out of the water, and then at the very end of verse 30, you know, Peter starts to sink and he cries out to Jesus to save him. And then verse 31 of Matthew chapter 14, it says, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said unto him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the winds ceased. So basically, he picked him up. He brought him right back to where he was. I mean, obviously, he criticized him just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's just holding him accountable.
Right, for sure. Oh, right, for sure. I mean, he just held him accountable, you know, kind of reminded him of, mm-hmm, what basically, you know, what the message is through that story. You know, but to kind of get back to the point, whenever we stick close to Jesus, we obviously don't, you know, we obviously don't stumble and fall that much. Like it says in Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, it, mm-hmm, says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that's obviously a verse that, you know, like both of us have heard,
yeah,
many times before.
You quoted that right off the top of your head, didn't you?
I did.
I'm proud of you, Cody.
I didn't have to look that up.
So
I feel so good about myself now.
You're Cody Cespedes, and now I'm going to call you Billy Cody Graham because you're just quoting scripture like crazy. I'm just kidding. No. But no, that's perfect for what it is. Absolutely. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're all good, dude. I mean, hey, like I said, one of the things I enjoy about this podcast is the fact that we can just, you know, we can talk about serious topics like this, but we can kind of be a little bit lighthearted about it every once in a while. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's kind of cool. But anyway, getting back to kind of the story I was saying, is that even though we fall sometimes, Jesus is there to catch us. And here's a quick story, and then I'll hand over to you. Because you got some verses. In the video I was watching, this guy's son was playing for a baseball team, and he played catcher. And apparently in the league that he played in, the catchers weren't that good because they couldn't ever catch the ball and throw it at home. So they used to never throw it home. If there was a play, they chose not
just
to throw it.
Score.
Right, they just let him score. But that catcher was good. So during practice, they're practicing, you know, like practicing, you know, throwing balls to home. So what happens is that whenever the ball would reach the third baseman wouldn't throw it because, you know, but the third baseman wouldn't throw it, you know, because one, he wasn't used to throwing it. You know, so obviously, you know, that made him nervous about throwing it home because he had never thrown it home because either he was afraid he wasn't going to be able to make a good throw or he was afraid the catcher wouldn't catch it.
Right.
You know, but in the story, the coach went up to him and he asked him, just, you know, like, all you got to do is throw the ball to home. He's like, you know, and he's like, I don't want to do it. I'm afraid to do it. I'm afraid I'm going to make a bad throw. And then the coach said, but you got a good catcher.
Mm-hmm.
You got a good catcher.
That's right.
I mean, it's like you got a good catcher. You can make a bad throw, but your catcher's good. He'll be able to make the play. And I just thought that was so cool because even though we may stumble and fall sometimes when we sin or we fall into temptation, Jesus is there to catch us whenever we stumble and fall, just like in this.
Nice.
Just like in the story with Peter walking on the water. I just brought that thing full circle.
That was awesome. My mind is over here just blowing in the, out of the back of my head. That's some good stuff, Cody. Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, Peter had to have some kind of faith to get out of that boat.
Right.
Right? So he knew what was right.
Right.
And in that moment of where he was sinking, you know, where he took his eyes off of Jesus, you know, at that point in time, you know, I'm not trying to put words or thoughts in Peter's head.
No.
But he probably had no idea that would be a direct example for everybody's life when it comes to walking with Christ. Right.
Right.
Because when we're focused on Christ, just like I'm looking at the thing hanging on your wall back there, I can walk straight to it. You know, I'm focused on it. I'm walking on an even playing field. You know, I might have some bumps here and there, right?
Right.
But I stay focused. I take my eyes off even for a split second or in our life a couple of days, right? We'll sink back down. We'll lose focus of where we were walking, right? And, you know, all it says, one of the main things that Jesus says is in John chapter 14, says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And part of that is, you know, to keep your focus on him, right?
Right.
And that people take that so out of context, saying, that's impossible. We're not going to be perfect. God doesn't expect us to be perfect.
Right.
God expects us to rely on him. He came down in the form of a man to be able to relate to us.
Right.
Not for us to be on the same level as God, but for us to be able to relate to him and be that living sacrifice, because the only way that we were going to be forgiven was human sacrifice.
Right.
They killed all the lambs and sheep that they wanted to, and all the goats that didn't do nothing, right? That was just a form of being forgiven. But the lamb was killed, the lamb being capital L, Jesus.
Right.
Right. And it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And some people were like, you know, God doesn't know me. God, you know, I'm too far away for God to even notice who I am. Newsflash, God's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. You know, at VBS, we talked about those three O's, right?
Yes, we
did. He's everywhere. You're on earth. That's part of everywhere. He knows who you are. Okay. Like he told Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah chapter 1 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. It says, before you were born, I sanctified you. Okay. He knew you before you were born. Now I'm talking to you right now, but you that are listening, he knew you before you were born. He's the one that created you. Yeah. You grew and developed in your mother's womb. That's how God designed it to happen.
Right.
But he created you. You are a creating being by God, the same God that created the earth, the same God that created the angels. Yeah, we're different from angels. You don't become an angel when you go to heaven. Your soul goes to heaven, but we're different beings than angels are.
Right.
I just wanted to throw that in there real quick. but the same God that created all this marvelous stuff has the time and has the love and the grace to form you and create you and have a purpose for you.
Right.
You know, some people think, you know, I've done too many bad things to get to know Christ or to share the gospel. That's not true. That's Satan lying to you. Okay.
Right.
That's that time where you have put yourself in the ditch. You try to take control of your life, like we talked about. You put yourself in the ditch and you won't let God help you. You won't use Christ as a way of getting out of that ditch, okay? And you have let Satan deceive you and trick you into thinking that that's where you belong, that that's all you can, you know, amount for in life. You might as well just listen to him, right? No, absolutely not. That's a bold-faced lie. And you know what? Satan might have some control in this world because of sin and on the earth and everything.
Oh, sure.
He's on a leash. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He can't, he's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one time. He's a created being. God created him too. Okay. Don't listen to the lies that he has to say. Don't listen to that. Scoot him out of the way. You tell him to leave. He leaves. He has to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. He leaves. You focus back on Christ. He pulls you up. You get back on that path.
All right. And on that note, we will be right back with some sports. Hey, everybody. What's going on? I hope you guys are enjoying the show. Just wanted to take a second just to let you guys know that if you have any prayer needs or just something on your mind, you can always contact us through our social medias. They are in the show notes in the description of this podcast, and just always wanted to let you know that that's always available. If you just want to talk to somebody, if you have any questions, just let us know. And I hope you guys are having a great day. And now back to the show.
All right. It's that time again, y'all. What time is it? It's sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is the weekly score. Yeah.
Hey, I like that. At the same time. Like, how about that? Hey, that was kind of cool.
That was pretty good, Cody. 13 episodes in, we finally got it down pat, right?
Yeah.
Cool
there we
deal.
Go. That was cool.
Deal. Well, I know I touched on some baseball last week.
Yes, you did.
And it wasn't.
Oh, okay, yes. By the way, thank you. Okay, thank you for when you were talking about baseball to not totally completely just, you know, I mean, you talked about the Red Sox, but don't, you know, you talked about the Red Sox, but just thank you for not, like, you know, talking complete garbage about them.
I spent the appropriate amount of time that was worth reporting on the Boston Red Sox last week, right? Basically, the update was who y'all played that night.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Pretty much.
But I'll let you take the reins for baseball this week. So what you got, Cody?
All right. Well, first off, this is actually a story that was just talked about the morning of recording this podcast. And it is talking about that, it is talking about Major League Baseball has talked about doing a bubble type format for the playoffs this year.
Ooh, a bubble?
Yeah.
Which is what they should have done in the first place.
I kind of agree with you on that, but it's too late to change that now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, don't change it now.
Right.
But doing it
I was
for
about
the playoffs,
to too late to change that now, and I'm definitely excited that they're at least considering doing something like that because, you know, the NHL and NBA have been doing it so far, and it's worked out good as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as I can tell so far, it's worked out well as far as, you know, like players, you know, not testing positive or just the overall games experiences have been really good, so as far as I can tell, that's working out pretty well.
Well,
so
have they mentioned about where the bubble might be, or they just said we might do one?
They haven't really mentioned anything about where they might have it yet, but they're they're just having talks about if they're going to even consider doing it in general right
gotcha.
Now. They haven't had any word on like potential locations for it yet, you know, because the NBA, you know, is down in Florida, and, you know, and hockey is in
they're split up
Alberta.
One's in Edmonton and one's in Toronto.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, like, I don't watch hockey as much as I should, but
hey, you should watch the Hurricanes during the playoffs.
Yes, I honestly should. I don't know why I haven't watched as much hockey, but, you know, something that was kind of cool was I actually watched a hockey game while we were on vacation. I think it was between the Edmonton Oilers and the Blackhawks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Blackhawks. It was game
of their little qualifier round. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of their little qualifying round. It was actually kind of fun because you had two goals that were, you know, because you had two goals that were scored in like the first minute and a half. It was kind of nice.
And the Hurricanes dominated in their qualifier round. Didn't mean to get from baseball to hockey real quick, but they did dominate in their qualifier round. So that, hence why they're in the playoffs. They got a tough stretch coming up with the Bruins, but.
Oh, I know.
That's going to be fun nonetheless. So, baseball. What about baseball, Cody?
Okay. Okay.
Our baseball froze over there for a second.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. All righty. So let's talk power rankings again.
Oh, boy.
I'm not as excited to talk about this is because I know as far as the Red Sox go, it's not going to be great.
So out of 30 teams, are y'all what, 33rd? Oh, sorry.
Okay, come on. Okay, come on. We're not doing great, but we're not the worst.
You're not the worst.
Okay, I was about to say, we're not the... Okay. Okay, here's the thing. At least we've played all of our games.
True. We have, too.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we played all of our games, but, you know, you look at Miami. Whenever I look at the standings, I can't look at it because you got Miami up there near the top.
Well, yeah, it was called, well, it's and they played like they eight had, games. They've played, no, they've played three or four games. Yeah. They hadn't even played like, you know, a full week's worth of games just yet.
Yeah, for sure, you know. But anyway, power rankings. Number one is, of course, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Duh.
You know, Los Angeles Dodgers are number one. Number two are the Yankees, who were number two last week. I can kind of see that, although they have lost a few of their games the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, you know, but I can still see how you can rank them at number two. Number three is the Twins. They are ranked number three still. They're 10-6 so far this year.
Okay.
Number four are the Oakland A's, which makes sense. They are 12-4. I mean,
I didn't realize they were that good this year.
They're 12-4. Hey, by the way, preseason predictions are going pretty good so far because I picked them to win the American League West this year.
Good job.
And so far, it's going pretty good. So hopefully it stays that way.
That's awesome.
And number five is your Atlanta Braves.
Yes! Top five.
Top five. They are 11-6. Okay, 11-5 before that game yesterday, on Monday.
That's okay. Yeah. We dominated the doubleheader the day before, both games.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's good. And just to hit on the Braves real quick, it's like when we win, I'm like, yeah, this is amazing. And when we're losing, I'm like, what are we doing? Like the losses that we have had so far.
Oh, I know.
They haven't even been like hard earned, like hard games to play. It's been
right.
Like,
it's either been like really good
fire or we just get dominated.
Right.
So,
oh yeah, I know.
Keep going. But I'm glad after all that has been so far, I'm glad the Braves are top five.
Yes. All right, so number six is the Cubs. They are 10-3.
Okay.
They haven't played as many games, but when they have, they've been pretty good. Number seven, the Houston Astros. I cannot believe this. They are 6-9.
Here you go. Here's my soapbox.
No.
Get on it.
I'm good. No.
Get on it. Okay. You want to get on it.
Okay. I'm going to get on the soapbox. How are the Houston Astros ranked number seven in baseball when they're 6-9?
I have no idea.
And they got
that's great feedback by me. I had no idea.
And they got swept by Oakland in this past series.
They also
didn't
got
they?
Beat up by Oakland too. But.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's honestly kind of funny that you mentioned that because I'm gonna be talking about that next.
Okay.
You know, but anyway, so the Astros are 6-9. I don't know how they're ranked number seven at all. When they also don't have Justin Verlander either. And that's what I don't get why they're ranked seventh either. I mean, they don't have Justin Verlander playing. He hasn't played but like one game this year. So, okay, anyway, I'm getting off the soapbox now.
Good job, Cody.
Okay. But anyway, so number eight is Cleveland. Number nine is Tampa Bay. And number 10 are the Padres. So that's your top 10. The Colorado Rockies are number 12 and they're 12 and they are 11-4. I do not understand that. I think they should be swapped with the Astros.
True.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I think they should be swapped with the Astros because the Rockies are 11-4. Plus, as of this recording, they have the leader in batting average for the big leagues this year, Charlie Blackman. He's batting like .480.
Well, I think the Rockies just get forgotten about. Honestly,
yeah,
I think
true.
The Rockies sometimes forget they play Major League Baseball. Sometimes,
well,
they're just one of those teams that's just out there. Nobody else is really near them. I mean,
right?
You know, so,
well, plus it doesn't help that they're in the same division as the Dodgers and Giants,
exactly.
And the Padres too are coming up too. And those three teams have been talked about a lot. Obviously, the Dodgers are good. The Giants aren't that great, but they always get talked about just because they've won championships in recent years.
Yeah.
And the Padres are kind of a real up and coming team. So I can definitely see how they would, you know, not be talked about as much.
Where's your Red Sox at?
That's what I'm finding right now.
He keeps scrolling. He's having to scroll for a while.
We are number 23.
Hey, good job. You cracked the top 25.
23 out of 30. Although last week we were 22. So
you dropped one.
Yes,
oh, no.
We dropped one. Well, plus it doesn't. Okay, you know what's kind of funny is I was talking about the Rockies having the best average hitter in the big leagues. The Red Sox have the worst average hitter in the big leagues. Okay. And here's the thing. We got Andrew Benintendi. He's batting like .059 last I checked.
He only gets on base 6% of the time?
Yes. He has two hits on the season this year, and one of them was actually a bunt single. So he's really only got one like good hit so far this year. And he actually was our starting left fielder. Now it's more of Alex Verdugo and Kevin Pillar. But, you know, for those of you who keep tabs of the Red Sox roster, you would know who those players are. But anyway, you know, get back to the point. Red Sox are 6-9 as of this recording to start the year. I'm a little bit upset about this because really our pitching, like I said, is not that great, and really the offense hasn't been keeping up the slack so far.
You've gotten better in the weeks worth of time though, because last week I was recording y'all were 3-7.
Well,
so I mean you hadn't got worse.
Well, true, yeah.
Which I told you could get any worse. You're at the bottom of the East anyway. So
yeah. Well, thank you.
Just want to remind you.
Thank you for that wonderful reminder.
You're welcome.
Okay.
That's what I'm here for.
And just to round things out, the number 30th ranked team is the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are 3-13.
Which is the kind of hat that you're wearing today, which just still doesn't make any sense to me.
I just like hats related to baseball. I don't know why I chose the Pirates today. I just kind of want to – I just kind of, you know, like –
Are you that ashamed of the Red Sox that you're going so low to wear a Pirates hat?
No,
is that the case?
No. Don't you even go there with me.
Did you hear that, Red Sox fans?
Don't you even go there. I am offended that you would even think that. Okay. Okay, but anyway, I got one more baseball story, and then I'll hand it over to you for NASCAR and college football.
Okay.
All right. So I was talking about the A's and the Astros just a minute ago, and you may have heard that the A's and the Astros had a little bit of a benches clearing brawl last week.
Oh, yeah.
And really the main two guys involved in that were Oakland A's center fielder Ramon Laureano and Houston Astros hitting coach Alex Cintron.
Yeah, it was a coach and player showdown.
The hitting coach. Well, you know, and I've already talked about this with my parents multiple times. I have my own opinion on it. I don't want to share it on the podcast because then I'm going to have to use Neil's soapbox twice again.
In one recording. There's no rule against
that. It's okay. No, it's okay. I was already talking junk about the Houston Astros already. I don't want to talk about them anymore just because there's already been too much junk talking about them in Houston Astros. But anyway.
True.
But anyway.
We try to stay as reverent as possible.
Yes.
By the way.
Yes, that is true. Alrighty, so that happens, and now... Okay, so that happened, and now the league has given out its official ruling on the incident.
Yeah.
The Oakland A's outfielder, Laureano, got suspended for 6 games, mm-hmm. and the Houston Astros coach got suspended for 20 games.
See ya.
Got suspended for 20
games. That's a third of the season, Cody.
He got suspended for a third of the season. Which, here's the thing, though. I was hoping that he would get...
Oh, absolutely.
A bigger suspension than Laureano because, you know, he was one. If you watch the clip, he kind of.
There's no place for that at all.
I mean, well, like, here's the thing. He's a coach, and he was like telling him, he was like motioning his hands, you know, right back towards his face, you know, like, come on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you don't do that.
Neither party's innocent in that situation. I wasn't watching the game, but I watched the fight on YouTube. Sounds like it's a wrestling show or something.
Yeah.
I watched the fight, and I mean, the coach instigated it.
Oh,
for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, they were both running their mouth. Don't get me wrong.
Right. I mean, both of them were running their mouth, but whether you're a player or a coach, you don't tell someone to, like, come at you.
And I don't know.
Like, as a coach, too, you'd think as a coach he would have held himself to a little bit of a higher standard.
Well, I mean, coaches are there to defuse these situations.
Right. That's what I was saying.
Yeah. I mean, because usually they're the ones out there separating the players when somebody charges the mound or things like that, you know? And I don't care how much artificial noise you pump in, how many effects you play with the organist plays. These players, they hear each other this year talking smack to each other.
Oh, yeah.
More than they ever have. Now, of course, they can hear it here and there in a normal season, but with nobody there, hear it nonstop. You would definitely hear a trash can this year.
Oh, I know that.
That's for sure. That's my little dig at the Astros. I'll stay a little more reverent about it, too.
Well, but yes, so that's all I got, man. After I used the soapbox on the Astros almost 2 times. And about the Red Sox, I'm finished talking about baseball for this week. Hopefully we'll kind of get some more news about the possible playoff bubble, because I think that would be a really good idea.
Yeah.
You know, for the MLB to try to do. I'm looking forward to hearing about that. But I hear you got some news about NASCAR and college football season.
I sure do, yeah. Had two cup races this past weekend, both at Michigan. So the doubleheader weekends are a way for them to catch up on their normal schedule.
Right.
You know, when they first started way back when, they were racing on Sunday, racing on Wednesday, kind of doing, you know, at the same track, but, you know, a little bit spaced out in between. This weekend they ran a Saturday race, and a Sunday race.
Yeah.
And with no practice or qualifying, they can do that a whole lot easier, which I'm loving this no practice or qualifying deal right now. Just show up and race and see what happens. So I love that. I think that's awesome. This was the first weekend that they put it in an actual race, not just all-star race. They could put a thing in called a choose cone. So what that thing is, Cody, is usually during a caution, you know, you reset first, second, third, fourth, whatever position you were in at caution, that's right. That's how you are on the in the grid as you're going around for waiting for green flag to drop.
Right.
So usually first place takes the inside, second place outside, third inside. So all the odd numbers inside, even right. numbers outside on the track. With this choose cone, the driver, their spotter, crew chief, they all have the chance to choose whether they want to start on the outside or the inside.
Huh.
Before they get to that cone. That's not an actual cone sitting in the road, but right. it's on the track. It's in the shape of a cone painted on the track.
Okay.
And so what they can do, even if you're running second and you don't want to start at the top of the racetrack, you can elect to go down to the bottom.
Huh.
So you would be in second, but then in that part you would start third. So you would give up track position, but you would
give up track position right. to like you give up either inside or outside. I mean, no, you give up your place. Whether you want to be inside or outside
on your
or
preference
not.
Of where you want it, because I mean, different drivers like driving in different parts of the track.
Right.
Now you think running, you know, when you're running like running an Olympic track, the inside lane has the shorter distance. Right.
Right.
But you know they kind of stagger it there so everybody has a similar distance to run on Olympic. But in NASCAR, you know, it depends. It really depends on what track you're at. And now they put down different pavements in certain places where you can get better grip around certain parts of these tracks. But this was really cool for it to leave it up to the drivers on where they wanted to start.
Right. Yeah.
So you could be in 20th position and all 19 cars in front of you want to start on the bottom. You can go start at the top and be in second just like that.
Wow.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
But you might just to gain all those spots, you might lose it all just again if everybody's running better on the bottom. It just depends on the track and how it's laid out that day.
Right.
So much stuff goes into what happens the day of the race nowadays. Especially with no practice and no qualifying. But it was really cool to see. Now, some of the drivers still have no idea what to do, but it's so new. And a lot of the spotters, I listened to this one podcast called Door Bumper Clear. And it's a podcast made up of spotters for drivers. Those are the guys that tell them, you know, what's around them, which is really cool to hear it from their perspective.
Right, yeah.
You know?
That's pretty cool and to hear it from their point of view.
A lot of them didn't care for it because it's a significant rule change in the middle of a season. You know, a lot of other leagues, they'll test something and then they'll put it in the next year.
Right.
So they tested the choose cone at the All-Star race, which everybody thought they'll just put it in next season. No, they put it in now, which, you know, was a little crazy, a little confusing. Some guys have no idea what they're doing about it, don't understand how it works just yet. Some of them are switching after the cone and all that. But other than that, two pretty decent races. The Sunday race was better than the Saturday race because I think a lot of teams use the Saturday race as a form of practice almost.
Right. As a form of practice to kind of get ready for the Sunday.
Yeah, but to kind of culminate or to kind of conclude the NASCAR part, what I want to talk about was Kevin Harvick won Saturday. Kevin Harvick won Sunday.
Wow,
he swept.
Both.
He won both races.
He won both.
He won, yeah. And that's impressive, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we talked about how Chase Elliott won at the same track on a Sunday and a Wednesday. Kevin Harvick won.
On back-to-back days.
Back-to-back days. That's crazy.
Oh,
which, I mean,
that's cool.
That sums up the year he's having. And just like Denny Hamlin, they are just on fire this year. They both are racing great. They both got really great pit crews behind them, and it's really their skill all around is showing how their great skill is showing this year because of the no practice and no qualifying, how they can just show up and do great.
Oh, yeah.
But this weekend, this race, Cody, you seriously, I'm going to text you. You need to watch this race coming up, okay?
Okay.
Because this is at a track that the Cup race has never run before.
Ooh.
Now, it's at the same place that they run every year, first race of the year, Daytona, okay? So Daytona is a very famous track,
right.
Of course, Daytona 500. But this is the Daytona road course, okay? So Ooh. It's set up like the Roval at Charlotte, where a big part of it is the oval, the normal, but there's a road course that goes in the infield. This has never been done and on the Cup Series circuit. They've had other races here that's not NASCAR and stuff like that. Only a handful of drivers know how this track lays out, okay?
That's cool.
And there's going to be no practice on this track, no qualifying on this track. It's going to be show up, and race on a road course where you have no idea how to race this track.
And this is when?
This is this weekend. So you need to watch it this weekend.
Okay.
They usually have this race at a place called Watkins Glen, which is another road course, which, I mean, they've been racing there forever. But they didn't want to have it there just because of the restrictions that they have at that track and the area around it and whatnot. But the only experience, the only practice that these guys are getting on this track are on the iRacing, on the simulators. And, I mean, you can do that all day long. That's nothing until you get on the real track, right? And go back on YouTube and watch the first practice at the Charlotte Roval when that was a brand-new track, and look how many times people wrecked because they had no idea how to race it, no idea how to drive it. And they don't get a practice this time. This is going to be first time. Yeah, it's definitely going to be.
Legit, just. Yeah.
It's going to be chaos the first stage for sure. It's going to be absolute chaos.
Sounds like fun to me.
It sounds like fun as long as nobody gets hurt.
Oh right,
but yeah.
Of course.
It's going to be crazy. I'm excited to watch it. But great job Harvick for not only winning one
back to back days. That's crazy.
Yeah, this two cup races, two wins. That's insane. All right, college football has gotten very, very interesting this week.
Yes, it has.
Not last week too, but the past 24 hours have gotten very interesting, Cody.
Very.
So just announced this afternoon, like right before we hit the red button on the computer, Big Ten said, nope, we're not playing this fall.
And that's crazy.
It is crazy. And on the smaller note, the South Atlantic Conference, the SAC Wingate's conference, they've canceled all fall sports,
I know,
too.
And I was so really disappointed.
That's really, really disappointing, absolutely. But on a large scale, we have a Power 5 conference that said, no, we're not playing this year. That's
right, that's huge.
That's huge for them not to play and hopefully play into spring. It's basically what they said.
Right,
but
hopefully.
On,
so that's on, even this kind of like, maybe we will, maybe we won't.
Oh, yeah, there's no guarantee at all. But on a lighter note, you know, on a day that was such terrible news to hear, CBS Sports put out an article just a few hours ago. The ACC absolutely intends to play 2020 college football season.
That's great.
So it doesn't mean they will,
right,
but
they're
going
to do
everything that they can to do so. They hadn't ruled it out just yet, which, I mean, they need to make a decision that's coming up pretty quick. But that's great to see. You know, Notre Dame joined the conference this year, so they would have a schedule to play.
Right.
And there's a few little games here and there that they'll play non-conference, because as of right now, UNC Charlotte, they have Duke and North Carolina on their schedule this year.
Which is
crazy to have two ACC opponents and two local schools on the schedule, for especially in the year as crazy as 2020. But it's encouraging to see that the ACC is trying their best to have – a season, which these players, they want a season.
Oh yeah,
why wouldn't they?
Right.
Why,
I mean,
wouldn't they?
You know,
and they want a fall season, because if they have a spring season, the top 10 picks for the draft, there's no way they're going to play. What's the gain in them playing in the spring, like trying, you know, potentially getting hurt?
Right, potentially getting
right
hurt
before,
like,
right before the draft.
Right,
yeah, there's
the draft.
No point in doing that. So of course they want to play, not first for that reason. There's no reason for them not to right now. And I'll pull up, Trevor Lawrence had a great quote on Twitter. Well, it wasn't even a quote. It was him tweeting. And it was a thread. I'll read it. It says, people, and this is Trevor Lawrence talking, you can find it on his Twitter, it's not just me making up words, people are just as much, if not more, at risk if we don't play, more at risk of getting COVID. Players will be all sent home to their own communities where social distancing is highly unlikely, and medical care and expenses will be placed on the families if they were to contract COVID-19.
Yeah.
Not to mention, this is still him talking, the players coming from situations that are not good for them / their future and having to go back to that. Football is a safe haven for so many people. We are more likely to get the virus in everyday life than playing football. Having a season also gives incentives to players for being safe and taking all of the right precautions to avoid contracting COVID, because the season and the teammates' safety is on the line. Without the season, as we've seen already, people will not social distance or wear masks and take the proper precautions. He knocked it right out of the water.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
great. What he said makes perfect sense to me.
I mean, and he's got a really good point.
Oh,
I
know.
We don't know where all these guys come from, right? We don't know the communities that they come from. And not to get on too big of a topic, but getting a football scholarship is a way out for a lot of athletes.
Oh, I know.
A way out of for a lot of people. Of bad situations, of situations that they might be in if it weren't for them getting the opportunity to go play not any kind of sport at a college. It don't have to be Division I either. But if they play a season, they're going to be taking super-duper, you know, precautions here and there, just like the NBA has done. Major League Baseball has tried their best, you know, in their situation as well. But these players would be, if they have a season, they're going to be tested constantly. They're going to be told to stick with you and yours and don't go out and you know, party, basically. They're going to be told to social distance. They're going to be told to wear a mask and things like that. They're going to be under more of a control, you know, have more responsibility about them than they would if they were just at home.
Right.
He's got a good point. He's got a really good point. Now, you know, it still is risky, yeah, to travel.
Well, sure, it's risky to have it all at once, right. but it's at least not spread out over all the places that all these football players are
from. Trevor Lawrence isn't saying that players won't get COVID if we play football. He's not saying that. He's just saying there's a lesser chance in his opinion, which his opinion makes perfect sense to me.
Right. Plus on the positive thing, just by saying that, if you do, and a lot of people get it, it's at least contained in an area instead of being spread out
all
the different communities, all these different players and people were from.
Exactly. But Trevor Lawrence, thank you for saying that. It's good to see a player saying that. It's good to see an NCAA athlete voicing his opinion and his opinion being heard, by the way.
Right.
And NCAA not trying to muffle it or shut him down and things like that. But a lot of college athletes, a lot of college football players are on that side of things.
Trevor Lawrence, I think I saw
Sam Howell's tweeted about it.
I think I saw Justin Fields, the quarterback for Ohio State. He posted something about it.
Bo Nix, the quarterback at Auburn, has tweeted about it. Bo Nix's mom has tweeted about it too. I saw that too. Let the boys play.
Oh yeah.
Simple as that. But that's all I have for my sports stories. I will mention real quick, this NBA bubble has been so fun to watch
when I'm able to sit down and watch it.
These games, the scores of these games are like all-star game scores.
Oh, I know.
That these guys cannot miss. And it's not, I don't even think that they're not playing defense. These guys can't miss, Cody.
Oh, I know.
The Celtics scored 149 points the other night in a 12-minute basketball game.
I know. I thought that was insane. And that was against, what, Brooklyn? I think it was Brooklyn?
I believe so. Yeah. I can't remember right off. I'm not looking at it on the screen or anything. But I just remember seeing Boston 149. I said, whoa.
Yeah, I know.
That's insane.
That was insane.
I tell you what, the Phoenix Suns, all of a sudden, they just need to play in a bubble all the time, apparently, because they're undefeated in the bubble. Devin Booker's playing out of his mind. He's become a meme, all kind of stuff online right now. the Wizards have played awful. The Hornets hadn't even got into the bubble, and they're playing better.
They're higher in the overall standings than the Wizards are now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Cody has got breaking news from ESPN. No Pac-12 hoops in 2020. As league announces, all sports competitions have been postponed through the end of the calendar year. So there's one more Power 5.
No way.
Gone. Pac-12 out.
No, man.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
I mean, that just happened right now. It just popped up on my watch. So there you go. There's another one gone.
Wow.
Goodness. Well, as we close out the show, let's talk about a little discussion question that you talked about yesterday to me, and I put on our social medias and whatnot. We talked about underrated sports movies last week.
Yes,
had some really good feedback about that. This week, we want to talk about, in y'all's opinion, Cody, in your opinion, in my opinion, not just the most underrated athlete of all time, but some of the most underrated athletes of all time. Doesn't have to be the one, just some of them. Right? And these are guys that, they were great players. And if they played in a different era or played on a different team, they probably would have gotten more praise than they did.
Oh yeah.
So that's the case of them being underrated. And this isn't one of mine, but just hints right now, a guy that's being underrated right now in the NBA is Devontae Graham for the Hornets.
Oh, I know.
He's completely shunned from the most improved player vote, which is ridiculous. After the year, he went from,
I mean, like, after his season, I was shocked that he was not even in that boat. I was shocked.
Absolutely.
I'm like, dude,
ridiculous.
Did you not see the season that he had?
It was phenomenal. And I mean, to step in those shoes of filling in Kemba Walker's spot,
and that's some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, especially coming from Charlotte, who he is. I mean, the Hornets hadn't had the most successful franchise since '88, but Kemba's the all-time leading scorer in Hornets history, and Devontae stepped up big time and it made people see hope for this Hornets team without Kemba.
Right.
But yeah, let's get on to some of the answers. So I took it to Facebook, and let me pull those up real quick as we get started. A lot of them had to do with baseball. Some of them were football. And I'll be honest with you, Cody, some of them are so older than me and older than my time. I don't even know who these people are. I will say the funny one I got was, he's not a real athlete, but I would say he's underrated, was Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. An absolutely underrated quarterback. Oh, he could throw a football over the mountains and nobody would take him, Cody. Well, I mean, come on.
That's true.
Come on. One that I 100% agree with was from Toby McLaurin. He was a defensive line coach at Anson when I was playing football at Anson.
Oh, that's cool.
So Coach McLaurin said Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt.
Oh, the Big Hurt?
100%.
Oh, yeah, he was 100% underrated. 100% underrated.
Dude won MVP for the American League twice.
Oh, I know.
Got a World Series ring. Went to numerous All-Star games. They didn't call him the Big Hurt for bunting.
Right.
He would hit so many bombs. He played, you know, when he played on the field, he played great.
I do not understand why he isn't talked about that much.
But, I mean, why isn't he talked about that much?
I don't know.
I mean,
like, whenever he played, he was so good.
I remember when I played backyard baseball. You remember backyard baseball, Cody?
Oh, yeah.
So I would get Frank Thomas. And if I was playing another baseball video game, I would trade Frank Thomas to the Braves for somebody, you know, because I loved watching Frank Thomas. I imagine being Frank Thomas at bat sometimes just because I wanted to smack the mess out of that baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Another one that Coach McLaurin brought up was Brian Jordan. Brian Jordan was a two-sport athlete. You know,
yeah, he played football and baseball.
Yeah, he played safety for the Falcons, and he played baseball for a lot of teams, but mostly for the Braves. He's actually an analyst for the Braves now, too. Yeah, he's definitely underrated. I mean, any person that plays two professional sports, they ought to get some credit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was a great football player. Don't get me wrong, but he realized, just like Coach said on the Facebook comment, that he decided he could make plenty more money in baseball and have a longer career in baseball, and so that's what he did. My grandfather Tom Koval, he said Roman Gabriel, that quarterback for the Rams way back in
the day. Yeah, I was about to say that was back.
Sometimes some people that love football have no idea who Roman Gabriel is. I have Roman Gabriel's autograph, which I, you know, really think is really cool because that's not a very common autograph to have. But I absolutely agree that Roman Gabriel is an underrated athlete for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Who were some that you had, Cody? And then I'll give you my list after you give you yours.
Okay. So obviously knowing me, I can't just pick one or two. I got to pick like 100 of them because you know me. Okay, so I'm going to start with football.
Okay.
Okay, for football, I picked Wes Welker.
Wes Welker.
Okay, the reason why I bring that up, I mean, like I know he played recently, but I always thought he was more of an underrated receiver because he was always I thought he was underrated because he was never a number one receiver on any team that he played for. I mean, like whenever he played for, you know, it's like whenever he played for the Patriots, he was under Randy Moss and under receivers. And then when he played for the Broncos towards the end of his career, he was under, you know, like under players like Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
But like whenever he played, he was always consistent and he was consistent and he always found a way to get open.
I think a lot of that had to do with his size too. I mean, he wasn't he wasn't the stature of a number one receiver.
Well, let me Google that. He was 5'9", 185 pounds when he played. Basically, he was pretty much me if I was an inch taller and about 10 pounds lighter. That's pretty much me. I'd be the same size as Wes Welker if I was like an inch taller and like 10, and like 10, 15 pounds lighter.
True.
Oh, gosh. I just said how tall and how much I weigh. Oh, my goodness.
You're giving away.
I'm giving it all away. Okay, but, you know, but I thought he was really a great player. I mean, he played in 175 career games. I mean, he played 175 career games. He had over 900 catches for almost 10,000 yards and a flat-out even 50 touchdown passes.
Oh, sweet.
Or 15 touchdown catches. Another one for football I thought of was, I mean, when I say he's not going to sound underrated, but and this is more underrated in the sense he hasn't really been talked about that much. Wide receiver Marvin Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he used to play for the Colts,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Peyton Manning. Well, like, it's not that he's underrated as far as his stats. I mean, like, obviously everyone knows who Marvin Harrison is, but, you know, basically, you know, for, you know, like, everyone knows who Marvin Harrison was because he had the single season reception record up until Michael Thomas broke it last year, up until Michael Thomas broke it last year, you know, but as far as him being talked about after he retired, he really hasn't been talked that much since he stopped playing. I mean, of course, he was kind of a more quieter guy anyway. You know, it's like, you know, like, I mean, you know, like, he wasn't one of those flashy receivers that talked all the time, you know, like Randy Moss, for instance. I mean, like, everyone knows who Randy Moss is, and they don't have to know what he did. They just know he talked a lot.
Right.
You know, but, like, you know, but, like, going back to Marvin Harrison, you know, he wasn't really talked, you know, like, he didn't really talk a lot when he played. All he did was just go out there and make plays. But, you know, once he retired, he didn't really get talked about this much. So I guess in my mind, he felt a little bit underrated, even though he did win the Super Bowl and he went to 8 Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as far as his stats go, he wasn't underrated. But as far as public opinion,
popularity.
Like, popularity and public opinion, I'd say he's a little bit underrated.
I can see that.
And now I'm going to go with...
How many more you got?
I got 2 more.
Sweet.
I got 2 more. I got one for basketball and I got one for baseball. Like, I didn't want to go a lot with baseball because I knew I'd be finding 100 players for baseball. Okay, for basketball, I got, and this one's, he's really good. He's obviously, you know, one of the top players of all time for the NBA. Moses Malone.
Moses Malone?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I don't think for what he did, I don't think he gets talked about. I don't think he gets talked about nearly as much as he should because he is number 9 all time in points scored, but he never gets talked about that much. And it's funny because, you know, I just think it's funny that he's top 10 all time in scoring. He played in the league forever and he really hasn't been talked about that much, you know, because once you go right above him on the list, you got Shaquille O'Neal, Wilt Chamberlain, Dirk Nowitzki, you know, so like all those guys, even down the road, we're still talking about him, but really no one's ever talked about him after, you know, like, you know, after he retired.
It's probably just because he was so far back, too. I mean, that's
true. That's, I mean, like, right.
That's true. I mean, so far
he played
back.
A long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. Right. But I agree. He is definitely underrated.
Yeah, for sure. And then, okay, Neil, this is my last one for baseball, and this one you are going to like. I'm going to compliment you.
All right.
Nick Markakis.
What?
He's underrated.
You think he's underrated?
I think he's completely underrated.
Based solely off stats?
Based solely off stats, and here's why. He has 2,359 career hits. He has a 34.1 war, which that's like wins above replacement, which means if he wasn't in the game, he, you know, that's how the team would fare. And this is why he's underrated. He's played in the league forever.
Sure, he has been around for a while.
He's played in the league forever. He's like, what, 35 years old? He's only been to one All-Star appearance. And it was last year. Last year was his first ever All-Star.
He didn't go to
any
with the Orioles?
No.
He played for Orioles before this, right? Yeah.
Yes,
he didn't go to any with Baltimore?
He had one All-Star appearance and was with Atlanta. He has one All-Star appearance, one Silver Slugger, and 3 Gold Gloves.
Wow.
For a guy that has almost 2,400 hits and has played in the league for like...
It's been a while.
You know, for, you know...
As long as I've been keeping up with baseball, almost. Probably,
right. Right, for sure. And it's like, whenever a player has over 2,000 hits, he should at least enter the Hall of Fame conversation.
Right.
I'm not saying he's going to make it in, but I think for what he did in his career, because, you know, because ever since he came into the league, he's been one of the most consistent hitters since he's been to the league. His career, he's been one of the most consistent hitters in his career. He's played in the league since 2006, and he has a career batting average of .288.
Wow. That is impressive.
So if you ask me, as far as players who don't get talked about nowadays for baseball, Nick Markakis does not get the credit he deserves.
Well, I'll be. Well, okay.
For
that one threw me for a loop for a little bit. But
how much he's given to the game in the last 15 years, he doesn't get talked about, and he hasn't been awarded near as much as he should have.
I like that take, Cody. I like that. That's cool.
All right, man. So how about yours?
I got three. I got three I want to mention. One baseball, two basketball.
Okay.
First of all, you can tell me I'm wrong. I don't think Ken Griffey Jr. gets talked about enough. I really don't.
Really?
I really don't think he does. I think he is one player that gets forgotten about when you talk about some of baseball's greats.
Well,
I really think so. For some reason, he fell in.
Well, like in the conversation of baseball's greats, then Yes, I definitely say he's underrated.
But like of this time, like from 90s and beyond, I don't think he gets talked about enough. No. He was a freak in the outfield, and he could hit the snot out of the baseball.
Oh, I know.
Too, when he played for Seattle with his dad, when he made his career for himself in Seattle, and then we played for Cincinnati. He was phenomenal. That's all I got to say. I don't think he gets talked about enough. The one I really want to talk about is Robert Horry, basketball, NBA.
Robert Horry?
I think he's an NBA legend. You know why? You know how many rings Robert Horry has?
How much?
He has 7 championships.
7?
Robert Horry has won 7 championships. But he's been on great teams too. But it hadn't been because he rode the bench on great teams. He was a great role player on those different teams.
Right. And it's kind of a shame because a lot of those players who were really good, you know, not like quote-unquote superstar players.
Sure.
They were really good, but they were overshadowed by other players who were really good and don't get talked about.
He was there with Kobe and Shaq. You know what that was. Yeah. Right? That was phenomenal. Then he was on the Spurs and played big roles with the Spurs. 7 championships. Where this guy needs to get talked about more.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, true basketball fans know who Robert Horry is and respect who Robert Horry is. But I think Robert Horry is one of the, if not the most underrated athlete of all time.
Mm.
Another one that pairs right there with him, Scottie Pippen.
Oh, absolutely.
Scottie Pippen was the Robin.
He's the quintessential underrated player.
Oh, yeah. He was the sidekick for Michael Jordan for all those years. And
it's kind of sad because that's what he's going to be remembered by a lot.
Oh, as being MJ's sidekick.
Being MJ's number 2.
He went on to Portland and played after, you know, he played on his own, but that was after his prime, okay?
Right.
If he had been on another team in his prime other than with MJ, not saying that was a bad thing.
No.
I mean, those championships speak for themselves too. But he would have been a superstar on another team. He was a superstar to Bulls.
Right.
But he wouldn't have been in another person's shadow. He would have been a shadow. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I put it up between Scottie and Robert Horry as two of the most underrated athletes of all time.
Oh, yeah.
But the one that I liked the most was Frank Thomas. Frank Thomas, that's a great underrated one to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, like, I don't really remember him playing that much, you know, because I was really young whenever – you know, he chose to retire. But, you know, like, just going back and watching videos of him when he played, it's just like he could hit the mess out of a baseball.
Oh, yeah, he could. Yeah. They ain't calling him a big hurt for no reason.
Oh, I know.
Well, cool deal, man. Well, that's our show for this week, y'all. I hope y'all have had a good time listening. Cody, it's been great to have you back.
I'm glad to be back, man.
It's awesome to have somebody to talk to. That way I don't have to sit here and ramble for 30 straight minutes. I can feed off of you and you can feed off of me. It's been good to get back to somewhat normal, right?
Yeah.
But we hope y'all have a great week. Leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a review. Write one. We'll read it on the show. Tell somebody about us. Tell somebody about Jesus. Y'all have a great week. Bye.